And as we talked about during the mix with the Musers, Matt, it is first day of school for pretty much everyone now. If some people started last week, the charter school in Duncanville started the week before that. They started when we were out in training camp. But now you have people pretty much in school right now. And I could just remember that nervous feeling of, it didn't even bother me in college. It was more high school, making sure you had your fit ready to go. And I had everything laid. I had my fit laid out 2 weeks before first day of school, making sure it's ironed, creases ready to go. Got to make sure you had that perfect outfit.
Yeah, I wonder
for the
how
first
many,
day of school.
A lot of schools now, maybe not. It's not still in the public realm, but I know a lot of schools you
uniform
where yeah. you can only wear certain colors or certain things. Because my son has uniform.
That helps out so much.
Because he started school yesterday.
As far as the bullying goes and all that, that helps a ton as far as uniforms and everyone's dressing alike.
But it feels like to me some of your personality away, unfortunately.
Although you can always jazz it up. Look at Fresh Prince. He turned his jacket inside out, and he looked great.
Fair enough.
When he did that. So.
Yeah, they do days where you can wear Cowboys gear or local team gear, like on a Friday or something like that. They have stuff like that, and I think they're allowed to wear a T-shirt on Fridays as long as if it's not one of those special days, then it has to be school-affiliated.
Right,
but
right.
It's still school colors, but at least it's a T-shirt.
Man, because we couldn't wear shorts in school.
Yeah, I don't think he can either.
Yeah, and I don't know how lax the dress code is now for schools.
Yeah, because he had khaki pants on yesterday when I got his first day of school picture.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, 100 and something degrees and you got to wear pants?
We have to do, man.
Pants.
School cold. Code, not cold.
I don't even own khaki pants. I couldn't go to school.
Can I be
in the pickup line? I don't know.
You would own a pair. It'd be wild if you had to dress up to pick up the kids. You have to have a certain dress code. Man, the pickup line in Duncanville at that charter school starts so early. It is ridiculous.
It's the way to go.
The amount of cars and what time they have to get there in order to get a good spot in line. And that's a three-lane street, Danieldale. And the pickup line takes two, the center and the right lane, as you're going, you're heading east towards 67.
It's a beating.
This is my new responsibility this year.
Oh, is it really?
Is I've been assigned pickup duty of my daughter in the afternoons.
It is an absolute beating.
And like the guy that works at that school, because my wife works for the school system, like drew her a map of how to like get in there the right way.
To game the system?
Yeah, and I was like, you can show me that map all day long. When I'm on the ground, that's going to mean nothing to me. We need some practice runs. We need a couple of tested sessions because I'm not going to figure that out based on this
and
map.
And there's a tiny, I don't know exactly what the business is that's right across the street from the charter school that puts up a sign every single school year and it will say no school parking in our parking lot. But it feels like there's no one ever there. I don't even know what it is. But they try and make sure that you cannot park over there and have your kid run across the street and get in the car and then drive off, which would be a ton easier. And I guess everyone would have to do it. But, man, there are a couple of different side streets that are all packed, lined with cars that way. And I am about three blocks away from the and three pretty sizable blocks away from the charter school. And, man, cars are almost lined up towards where you turn into my neighborhood to try and pick those kids
up
at a particular time. I don't know exactly what time they get out of school, but people are starting to line up there usually maybe about 2:15, 2:20. And I don't think they get out until after 3:30, I know for sure, because the lights don't start blinking until 3:30. So I'm thinking it's a little bit after that, maybe 3:45, but you have to line up an hour or so beforehand just to get a good spot to pick up your kid.
Yeah, it's crazy because when Maddox was in elementary school, a couple of times because the show that I did on ESPN Radio ended at 1 as well. And so I would sometimes try to, and there was a time I got there probably like 2:00 because I'd get curious, like how early I want to be the first car in line. And no matter how early I went,
what was the number?
The closest I ever got was second car in line. And I did, but I thought
you should have knocked.
And I was over an hour.
What time did you get here? What are you doing?
And that's when, because I tried it when the weather got nicer in the fall, And so I was like, look, I'm just going to go, I'll be first, and I'll just read my book, and it'll be fine. I was like, what did you just drop off and stay?
She's there the whole day.
Did you even go home? Man, it was
something
incredible.
About being first.
And now it's different because he goes to a private school, so the line obviously isn't as long because there's not as many parents, I guess, picking up their kids. But it's still one of those things, and you got to show you're supposed to have a little card or whatever that you put on your dash to signify the child that you're trying to pick up, and they can verify, okay, you're supposed to pick up. Well, last year I lost mine, and when I went to pick him up once, they're like, excuse me, sir? I was like, oh, I'm here for my son, Maddox. And they're like, and you are? I was like, I'm his dad. And they're like, do you have any ID? I was like, look, I'm sorry. His mom gave me the thing and I lost it. I don't know what to do. And I was like, it's okay. I just need to verify it. We have to. So I had to give her my license.
That's
and
smart.
She went into the office and all that. And of course, Maddox is like standing there. That's my dad. But you have to verify that I'm approved to pick him up.
Absolutely. No, that's the smart thing to do. I'm glad they did that.
I was too. I was like, no, trust me. I'd rather not be upset about that at all.
All right. So quickly, before we get into the Cowboys extending Quinnen Williams, a little quick mini boy music, if you don't mind. Because again, victim of doom scrolling, and I'm trying to cut back. I really am. I'm cutting back. But I saw something that I wanted to present to you guys that I had never heard before, and it feels like that it's kind of making the rounds now. So when you start talking about hip hop music and what's your favorite song of all time, and it's so subjective that you're going to get so many different answers. But I will contend, and maybe I'm wrong about this, that this song that we're about to play is widely considered one of the best hip-hop songs ever put out. Hit me, Tip Sheet.
So, I type a text to a girl I used to see, saying that I chose this cutie pie with whom I want to be. And I apologize if this message gets you down. Then I CC'd every girl that I'd CC round town. And hate to see y'all frown, but I'd rather see her smiling. It's all around me, true, but I'm no island peninsula, maybe. Makes no sense.
Of course, this is International Players Anthem. This is credited to UGK, but this is Outkast at the very beginning. Andre 3000 starts it. You got Pimp C, Bun B, and then Big Boy rounds it out. And it is widely considered one of the best hip-hop songs ever made. Well, one of the participants in this tune, Bun B, was on an interview recently. And he was saying, that's what I was trying to download today, where my audio was so messed up. That's what I was trying to download.
Okay.
So he was on an interview recently talking about this tune. And he said that on the original album, the original song that they put out, it was UGK and 3-6 Mafia, not Outkast. So they had it already made, album out. And though, so the record label at that time will put out little teasers, as far as maybe a one or two little cassette drop or a CD drop or whatever it was, and just kind of hand them out. Well, this song with UGK and 3-6 Mafia was on the teaser separately. Andre 3000 from Outkast and Big Boy contacted Bun B separately and said, dude, I love this. Any chance that we can hop on this? And they're like, okay, show me what you got. And so the reason why Andre 3000, his part at the very beginning is just to kind of the sample underneath, is because he didn't like the drums that's behind it. But Big Boy was like, I want the drums behind mine. So, okay, they want to hop on the record, that's fine. But they already had it with UGK and 3-6 Mafia. But they were having issues with their record label because they had just won an Oscar with Hard Out Here. And so they were like, okay, we're Oscar winners. We need to get more money or sign a better deal or whatever. And for some reason, they chopped them off of the song, put Andre 3000 and Big Boy on there, and this is the song that you have now. That's widely considered one of the best in hip-hop history. Widely. Now, so I was like, okay, that's wild. I never heard this before, that it was UGK and 3-6 Mafia. So now I wanted to try and see if I can find that tune, if they have it out there anywhere. Now, this says it's clean. We'll try. You know, sometimes you have to take risks on the air at times.
Seems like a big risk to take. Although there was no cussing in the other one.
Well, that was the clean version.
Oh.
Because there's definitely some. So, the song with UGK and 3-6 Mafia has the very first verse from Pimp C. That's the very beginning of the song. The verse Pimp C starts it. I'm sorry, Bun B. No, Pimp C. You're right. Pimp C, then Bun B, and then this is when 3-6 Mafia hits. So I want to play this song with 3-6 Mafia and UGK, and it's International Players Anthem. Sound like the same tune, and it's why, because I started thinking, man, how many other songs were meant for someone else, maybe even not just a demo but recorded it that way, and then for some reason they had to X that, they had to put someone else on, and it blew up to that tune that it is right now. I just don't know if that song was gonna hit the same as the beginning with Andre 3000 and even the ending with Big Boy. So it feels like it's totally different. And yeah, it just shocked the hell out of me that I didn't even realize that this was a version of one of the best songs ever that had 3-6 on it. They're great. They're Oscar winners, man. They're like, hey, and that's what tripped me out that year that they won the Oscar for the song from Hustle and Flow. Mm. I have never rooted that hard for anything in my life like I did for that. And when they perform, because, you know, they perform all the songs live at the ceremony. And you have Taraji P. Henson, who actually sung on the recording. The actress in the film did it on the Oscar stage. And I would love to see the faces of everyone, you know, kind of casually bobbing their heads as they're just singing about being hard out here for a pimp. At the Oscars.
And it's like 2005.
right. It's like, okay.
Things were a little different.
Just a tad bit. Just a tad different. But now they got that done. And just unfortunately for them, they had that issue with the record company. So they're X'd off and Outkast is on, man. But that's a trip how some artists will hear something and say, hey, man, let me jump on that. Even if you don't pay them or whatever, it's like, let me jump on that. I got to get on this album. And I think that happens way more than we think. And Bun B just revealed that, so I wanted to share it with everyone else. I was interested in
the
that.
First version better.
The one that came out, the one that's with
I
Outkast.
Like the first one you played better.
Yeah.
I never heard that song before.
International Players Anthem? I thought we played this on the show before.
I don't recall ever hearing it.
Yeah, this song is dope.
But yeah, the first one I liked better.
Yeah.
I never even heard of the UGK person, so I don't
UGK
even know.
UGK is a group.
That's what I said.
Pimp C and Bun B.
Oh, they're the two guys in UGK.
Underground Kings. Yeah.
He does our intro song.
No. That's not UGK.
Those are the two guys in UGK. Yeah. Uh-huh.
But Pimp C is, man, I love that dude's voice. You talk about, I always love people when they start rapping, singing, whatever it is. As soon as they open their mouths, you know exactly who that is. The distinction of their voices when they come out. And Pimp C had an undeniable... Soon as he opened his mouth, you knew exactly who it was. You didn't mistake him for anyone else, dude. That dude was just, he was fire, man. Left us a little too soon. And that's when we were with Bob and Dan and Pimp C would pass. We were out on remote, and the one promo guy just kind of looked up at Bob and said, we lost a good one today. They were kind of blinking like, okay. And they had no clue who Pimp C but Pimp C was. But there you go. Interesting fact about International Players Anthem that just came out, and I think it caught fire. Like, that video's been viewed now a lot of different times. It's like, holy crap, no one knew that this version even existed.